So, translation. This describes how the story is going on. In the first verse we heard that he's very angry. Hiranyakasipu is very angry. So now what are the symptoms or expressions of that anger? This verse describes the details. Filled with rage and biting his lips, Hiranyakasipu gazed at the sky with eyes that blazed in anger. Sounds like a scene from one of those plays last night. Very dramatic. Very dramatic. Making the whole sky smoky. So now you have to use your dry ice. Turn on your dry ice machine to make the whole sky smoky. It would have the special effects. Thus he began to speak. So this was the... Well, let's read the purport by Srila Prabhupada. As usual, the demon is envious of God and inimical toward him. These were Hiranyakashipu's external bodily features as he considered how to kill Lord Vishnu and devastate his kingdom by Kuntaloka. So we're beginning to hear more details of the seventh canto. The hero and the anti-hero. The hero of the seventh canto is, of course, Prahlad Maharaj. We're on his side. And the rival party, of course, has its own swabhav. The rival party is Hiranyakasipu. So it's a classic story of the good guys and the bad guys. Of course, the good guys are the devotees, and they exhibit good qualities, and they have good hearts, achi svabhav, very good nature, and good hearts. And they're controlled, they have all good qualities, devotees have the good qualities, 26 good qualities, they have tolerance, freedom from anger. And they're equipoised, they see everyone equally. So we'll hear about those qualities of Prahlad Maharaj, who is the Sura, devotee, born in a family of non-devotees. But here, beginning the story begins with a bang, as they say. And when we read the Srimad Bhagavatam, like every aspect of devotional service, there's a question of absorption. Attraction, attention, attachment, and absorption. We're attracted to the Srimad Bhagavatam because our Gurudev has told us it's a good thing to do. We should read the Bhagavatam. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. We should read every day. We should serve the Bhagavatam. But that serving of the Bhagavatam should include these three aspects, these three attitudes. We should be not only attracted, but we'd be very attentive to Bhagavatam, very attached to Bhagavatam, and very absorbed in the Bhagavatam. Being attracted to the Bhagavatam means being attracted to Radha and Krishna. The Srimad Bhagavatam is simply the Lord and His consort, Shakti and Shaktiman, Purusha and Prakriti. So all the different aspects of the Bhagavatam are different parts of the body of the Lord and His devotee and His devotees. And all the different qualities and rasas that are depicted in the Srimad Bhagavatam are different qualities and aspects and rasas that are within Radha and Krishna in a purified form. When we enter the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, then we find all of these, the pure expression of all of these qualities and all of these emotions, bhavas, rasa. Rasa is sometimes defined as ecstatic rapture, divine rapture. which rasa completely envelops the soul, the mind, the heart. It saturates the being with a special type of astonishing flavor and taste. It's an immersion. The heart becomes immersed in something extraordinary, extraordinary, beyond the worldly experience. It's called aprakrita, aprakrita bhav, transcendental emotions. It's not made of prakriti. It is made of the energy of the Lord. The swarup shakti of the Lord transforms into different rasas, the ladani shakti. So, as we lead up to the 10th canto and enter into the ocean of ras, Braja Ras, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the ocean of unlimited ras and flavor, exchange between Krishna and his loving devotees, and fraternal love, the cowherd boys, and conjugal love, the gopis and Krishna, and motherly love, Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. These exchanges are in their pure form. But before we can appreciate the transcendental emotions, we must have some platform to walk on. And we're walking on the platform of condition, conditional existence. We have all of us, conditioned souls, we have emotions, we have feelings, we have attitudes, and we have qualities. But they're all contaminated by the trigunas. And they're contaminated by opposite interest, opposite desire, icha dvesha simultena dvanda mohena bharata. Dvesha, icha, our own material desires and our own lack of love has contaminated the pure essence of the being, has adulterated the pure essence of the Atma, which is love, Atma prema. So when we hear about the different characters in the Bhagavatam preceding the 10th canto, we get an eye-to-eye view of archetypal characters which represent the material qualities and emotions which are dormant within all of us, dormant or quite prevalent, within somewhat subdued, or maybe very much manifest within us to a different degree. Anger, lust, greed. These are the emotions. But then there's personifications of those emotions. There's actual personalities, the material personality. And then, so now we're hearing about Hiranyakashipu. He's an archetypal character. Of course, he's in the Nityaparishad, Jayam Vijay. That is understood. But there's something he's representing. He's representing something within us. And this is the perversion of the pure form. The pure form we will also find. We'll also find in Krishna's Leela, in Braj, we'll also find anger. And we also find envy. And sometimes the neophyte devotee, he says, oh, I know how debilitating, I know how devastating and agitating it is to be afflicted by anger and envy. But I see that Krishna's associates, they're also envious? They're also angry? Huh? Are they? I thought the spiritual world was free from all these bad things, all these bad qualities, these dark, dastardly, nefarious qualities that haunt me and harass me and pinch me and prevent me from advancing. I thought the spiritual world was all love, peace, shanti. Anger, envy? Oh no! If I attain Surup Siddhi and I go to that param dham, that Goloka dham, I'll also find angry people there, and I'll find envious people. Oh, I better stay in Mumbai because there's lots of angry people here and lots of envious people, and I feel right at home with them. Birds of a feather flock together. But sometimes a neophyte devotee, they don't understand about transcendental, aprakriti bhav, transcendental anger, transcendental envy. This evades their conception. It is something mystifying. And it's not to be understood so much. We read about it, we read Nectar Devotion, we offer our pranams to such subject matters, we keep our head at the feet of Rupa Goswami, and we pray to Guru and Gauranga, Anam Prabhu, yes, please reveal these secret teachings of the Vedas. Someday I may understand these aprakriti bhavs, these supramundane feelings. Supramundane, transcendental feelings of the Lord and His devotees. Someday I may have the adhikar, as we heard yesterday from Mahamuni Prabhu. He was talking about adhikar, kanishta, madhyam, uttam. Someday maybe I have the qualification by the mercy of Guru, Gauranga, Tulsi Devi. E nevedena daru sakirano gatakaru. Seva adhikara dihe. Seva adhikara dihe. Koro nija dasi. I have no adhikar. I have no qualification. What do I have? I have nirmama. I have nothing is mine. What do I have? Nothing. I'm empty. Shunya. But Tulsi, you are a reservoir. You are purna. Purna bhav. You're full of feelings. So I am at your feet. I'm a beggar at your feet. O Tulsi. I want to become your nijadasi. Hey, nevedena. Seva adhikar. What? I have no adhikar to enter that realm. So here's Hiranyakashipu. It's a dramatic scene. The curtains open up. You're at your local drama theater. And he's raging. Biting his lips, staring at the sky. Is this Vishnu? I'm becoming very dramatic after seeing these plays. did a lot for my presentation coming here. I've become the Bollywood mode. Or like the pundit, you know, he's singing the bhajan. It looked like just like a Anoop Jalota or something. Or it's very good. It keeps everyone awake. So this is anger in action. This is Hiranyakashipu is at this stage of his career and this drama, this Leela drama, seventh canto Leela. Hiranyakashipu is entering a stage, boom, shaking the whole stage, thundering steps, biting his lower lip, eyes reddened with anger, heart burning with envy, staring at the sky. The sky is smoking with the fire from his eyes is transformed into smoke and filled the whole vyom with this duma. Duma vyom is just smoke everywhere. He's smoking the place. And if you're... so much rasa. So I was explaining that the Bhagavatam is meant for us to dive into these leelas. Each one of these leelas, we buy the ticket, we go to the drama, we try to get absorbed in the message and the feelings and the characters, the teaching. But the Bhagavatam is called Rasa Shastra. This is Rasa Shastra, it's full of ras. But we have to approach, the proper approach must be there. We must be attracted. Oh, it's not like, oh, here we go again, seventh canto. 30 years, how many times seventh canto? Sometimes we see different temples. But oh, the seventh canto. And just like brahmacharis, sannyasis, when a time for austerity comes, they get very excited. Oh, it's Ekadasi. Oh, tomorrow's Ekadasi. Oh, wonderful, Nirjal Ekadasi. Brahmacharis and sannyasis, they embrace austerity. Like a materialist embraces the opportunity to enjoy. Oh, tomorrow there's a big party at my house. You come and enjoy. Chapan bhog, chaka chak. Oh, yes, tomorrow. Oh, I'm counting the hours. Oh, tomorrow. Oh, there's only 9 hours, 10 hours. Oh, very soon I'll have varya bhog. And they look forward. Oh, on Wednesday there's a big wedding. Oh, yes, we better get a new dress, this, that, everything. Get ready, get excited. So much excitement for bhog. But the Vaishnavas, Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga. Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga. That our yoga, our bhakti is based on love, and we express our love by wanting to learn everything about Krishna. That's our love. If you love someone, you want to know everything about them. And if you love someone, you'll give up anything for them. You'll do anything for your lover. You'll do anything, sacrifice. Any sacrifice is not too big. Any contribution is not too large for the beloved. Vairagya based on love. Because we love Krishna, we love Gopinath, we'll do anything for them. Vairagya Vidya Nija, this is my Nija Bhakti, this is Gauranga Bhakti, Radha Krishna Bhakti. So they, Brahmachari Sannyasis, they embrace, oh, Prabhu, tomorrow's Ekadasi, oh, Ekadasi. Nirjal breath, oh, Jagran, oh, wonderful, all night, kirtan, ah. Oh, no. Maybe the grihasthas, I don't know, I'm just saying, possibly. Could be, or even brahmacharis, or even sannyas, oh, tomorrow's ekadasi, oh, wow. Patni, Devi, oh, sunye, Devi, aaj kal, ratko me, body of bog. Kali kadasi hai, aaj jara bog, kal, katam ho kya. So, today, we must eat two times. One for tomorrow. So, when we embrace austerity, this is the point. So when we have an opportunity, oh, this story about Hiranyakashipu, we should be attracted to Bhagavatam, because actually what are we really attracted to? No one can argue the point that they're attracted to rasa. Everything is moving on a basis of taste. No taste, no movement. Attraction is the basis of movement. If there's no attraction, there's no movement anywhere. And attraction takes the shape of pleasure. Pleasure takes the shape of rasa. Some flavor that drips in the mind. Some drops. It is intangible. It's imperceptible. I mean, it's not imperceptible. It's intangible. You can't touch it. You can't weigh it. But you can perceive it. Everyone knows when they're tasting happiness. Can you weigh happiness on a scale? Can you measure it with a yardstick? Can you see it with a telescope or a microscope? It's perception, perceptible feeling. It's a feeling. And it's a reality. It's real. But this is prakriti ras. Prakriti ras. This is materialistic taste of matter. It's just simply combinations of matter, which are on the basis of calm bhav. This bhav, our underlying bhav of the conditioned soul, is calm, the desire to enjoy. So he squeezes matter and extracts from squeezing matter, from squeezing some material object, some person or object, he squeezes it and extracts some nectar. Just like you squeeze the gana, get gana ras. You put the sugar cane through the machine and you squeeze it and you get some drop of sugar. This is the whole material world is based on squeezing. I squeezy you and you squeezy me. And it's very sleazy, the squeezy business. So Hiranyakashipu, we're going to learn something about ourselves. How much Hiranyakashipu there is inside of all of us. Because Hiranyakashipu has to come out of us if we want to enter Brajalila. The seventh canto is teaching many things. If we want to dance with Prahlad, we want to dance behind Prahlad. Hiranyakashipu is going to take out the bad qualities. He's going to extract the bad qualities. First the doctor takes away the disease with heavy medicines. If it's Ayurveda, it's very bitter medicine. If the disease is severe, the medicine is very bitter. Then gradually the medicines become sweeter than the reformatory diet, rehabilitation diet he gives. So Shukamuni, Vyasamuni, first he's taking out the poison. Take out this anger. What is this anger? What is this envy? It says, first in the previous verse it says Rosha. He was angry. Then this verse it says Rosha Porna. Is it Rosha or Rusha? It says Rusha. Rusha Porna. He was completely full of anger. He was the embodiment of angry. Rusha. Rusha Porna means crowed. Crowed Porna. Pura. Porna crowed. Completely angry. And then there was the anubhavs, or the expressions of the anger. Trembling. It's like this. So this principle I mentioned about approaching Bhagavatam, there must be a healthy approach, an excited approach to Bhagavatam. As much excitement and enthusiasm that we have to approach the seventh canto of Bhagavatam, that's how much excitement and enthusiasm we have to approach Rasa-lila, which is explained in the tenth canto of Bhagavatam. Because this is all part. Because all these rasas here we're finding in seventh canto, we'll find in Rasa-lila. But here it's the perverted reflection. Here it's the black, the iron represent, the loha, the iron representation. So this anger has to, this black iron anger has to come out of us. And this black envy has to come out of us. So that we can enter Braj with the pure loving sentiments. That's demanded by all the eternal associates of the Lord. Because of Srimad Bhagavatam, all the stories of Srimad Bhagavatam are all about prema. Prema Pumarta Mahan. Which is Bhagavat Amalam Puranam, Prema Pumarta Mahan. This is the goal, the art. What is the art? It says Bhagavat Puran. It says, what is that verse? It's about the... Avradya Bhagavan Brajesha Taniyos. Avradya Bhagavan Brajesha Taniyos. Our Avradya Dev. Who is our Avradya Dev? Isn't Sringadev our Avradya Dev? He is an auxiliary. He's helping us. But Avradya Dev means the Lord that we enshrine in our heart. The Lord that we submit to, we submit our heart. You can't submit your heart to every lady in Bombay. You have to pick one, and it becomes your wife, or one man becomes your husband. And that's your Aradhya. Your Aradhya Pati, or your Aradhya Patni, your worshipful wife or husband. But Aradhya Dev, that Lord of the heart, is one. Of course, one is also two. They become one as Gauranga, and two as Radha and Krishna. So our Aradhya Dev is Gopinath. Shriman Rasarasa Arambi Vamshivata Tatasita Karshan Venu Sonera Gopir Gopinath Sriye Sunha. This is Aradhya Dev, Aradhya Bhagavan Brajesha Taniyos. Ramya Kachid Upasana Brajabudu Vir. And then it says Shriman Bhagavatam Amalang Gyanam. Then Prema Pumarta Mahan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Matamidam. This is Srinath Acharya. Some people say it's Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. But generally, Gaudiya historians say this verse is written by Srinath Acharya. And he's telling, this is the Gaudiya Siddhanta. This is our Radya Dev. And this is our Sadhya. This is our goal to attain the eternal service of Brajesha Taniyos. The service of Brajendranandan. That beautiful boy, that Lala, that was dancing with Balaram last night. You can understand these children that were exhibiting the rupam in Krishna Balaram, Dalji Kaniya Dalji Rupam during that Leela drama. They were so much attractive to the heart, so much soothing, so much satisfying, so much pacifying, so much creating excitement and hope and enthusiasm to enter that domain of pure love, Brajadam. And they're only children representing the facsimile of that pure substance. Of course, in Braj, Narayan Bhatta Goswami, in his Braj Bhakti Vilas, he's saying that when they place the mukut on the Braj Brahmin, usually the Braj Brahmin, of course, maybe those are girls, I think so. They were girls or what? Hey, whatever. But on these small child, when they place the mukut, Radha mukut or Krishna mukut, on the head of the boy or these Brahmin boys at play, at that time, that is the coronation of the king. What's that term when they coronate the king? Coronation of Ram or some term. What do you call it? Raj something or other. Raj Abhishek or there's some other term. Like Pratishtha, Pran Pratishtha, so Pratishtha. Anyway, when they install the king, so they put the crown on, like you saw, was it? Yudhisthira put the crown on Parikshit last night. Everyone remember that scene? That's actually done. That's based on Shastra, that the preceding king, when he's giving the new king, he gives the crown on his head. So the same thing, that's for the Kshatriya, but in the transcendence, in this Leela drama, when the mukut is put on Krishna, and the Radha's mukut is put on her, Chandrika is put on her head, then it's considered now these two boys, Brahmin boys, Brijvasi Brahmin boys, they are Radha and Krishna. Sakshat. Sakshat Radha and Krishna. And this is Leela is going to be, it's not going to be a prakrit Leela, it's going to be prakat Leela, not aprakat. It's going to be manifest. You're going to see now these boys doing this drama, this in the Braj Leela, his Rasalila performances. Now you're going to see Radha and Krishna in their manifest pastime on this stage. So we were actually seeing Krishna and Balaram last night in terms of this understanding from Braj and Rasalila tradition. Har Govinda Prabhu and Fatta Krishna, and of course coming down from Narayan Bhatta Goswami, who established this tradition 400 years ago of reenacting Krishna's pastimes. So seeing that created so much, as I mentioned, enthusiasm, hope, excitement. And you can imagine if we actually saw Krishna and Balaram. how much pleasure there is in the spiritual world in serving Krishna, Balaram, Radhan Krishna. So we approach the Bhagavatam, we're enthused and we're attracted. And then we must become absorbed. There must be attention. We must be attentive to each chapter and story of the Bhagavatam. But we must become absorbed. And what does it mean to become absorbed? It means to immerse your heart into the story. Immerse your mind into the story. Immerse your visual capacity. Try to envision it. And you might say, well, I'm not very good at that. Okay, no one's very good at anything in bhakti. Guru Kripa Hi Kevalam. Only by Guru Kripa we can move 1 inch on the bhakti marg. It's not that, oh, I can do. We can do anything. All the power is coming. Can the cars and the train, can they move themselves? The bogies cannot move themselves. Well, the engine is pulling. Without the engine, the bogie goes nowhere. But the engine is Guru. Guru Kripa is the engine pulling us on the bhakti marg. And the parampara is behind us, pushing us. The Guru is pulling us, parampara is pushing us. And Maya is on both sides. Hey, come this way. Hey, wait a minute. So then what's protecting us on both sides? Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastra Hoy, Lava Macha Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoy. On both sides, Sadhu Sangha. In front, Guru Kripa. Behind, Parampara Kripa. Mahajanacharyas. Mahajanacharyas pushing from behind. Guru pulling us, and sadhus on both sides. Safe. Shelter. There's no chance of the train falling off the track. So with this Kripa, of Guru Kripa, then we pray to Guru, oh Gurudev. Then we pray to the Parampara who is being represented in the particular Shastra that we're reading. So in this particular Shastra that we're studying, the Parampara here is Srila Vyasamuni. Srila Vyasadeva and Srila Shukadeva Goswami are here. They're the narrators and speakers here. And Narada Muni is also here. Sri Narada Vacha Yudhisthira is there, Mahajan. So all these Mahajans, Acharyas are there. And so when we enter the story, we go to them like you see in a stage. The person comes out and he offers obeisances to different superior sages or whatever, touches their feet. So we have the same, these sages, now this story involves Narada Muni. So we go to the feet of Narada Muni and we fall prostrate, dandavat. And we fall, oh Narada Muni, you are speaking here. Please be kind to me. Allow me to enter something of this story. And oh Yudhisthira, oh, great, one of the great Haridasas, Yudhisthira, Uddhava, and Giriraj, Giridhari Gopal. And Giriraj is one of the three Haridasas whom Radharani glorifies as Haridas Varya. Of the three, of Yudhisthira and Uddhava, you Giriraj, you Govardhananath, you're the greatest, you're the best, you're the most wonderful. Because you're expanding services for everyone and providing services for all the Vrijvasis. From the ants to the trees to the, everyone you're serving. What to speak of the gopis and gopas and cows. Oh Giriraj, you're Haridas Varya. This is in Gopi Gita, Radharani speaking. So we pray to Narada Muni, we pray to Yudhisthira, that great Mahajan. Oh please, please bless me that I can understand this conversation. You heard this conversation. Narada Muni told you this story. Well, let me sit next to you. Let me sit behind you at your lotus feet, Yudhisthira. You're a Mahajan. You're my great, 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 great grandfather. Would you put your hand on my head and bless me that I can also hear these topics about Hiranyakashipu and Prahlad with rapt attention, with absorption, with attachment? And of course, Shukadeva Goswami is narrating to Parikshit. So we pray to Parikshit and Shukadeva. And then we can also pray to Hiranyakashipu, because he's one of the stars of the story. Hiranyakashipu, please don't be angry with me. Please don't hit me with your mace, because you see me as a Vishnu Bhakta. And you see me as one of the enemy party. Please, I have one request. Because you and I are very similar. We have a lot in common, Hiranyakashipu. Really, don't, you see this tilak, don't let it fool you. Hiranyakashipu, you see this Vaishnava, this Urdhvapanja tilak, don't let that fool you. It's just a drama. This is my costume. Actually, if you look behind that tilak, you'll see that you and me are ekdam same. Bilkul same. Same to same. Samaste. And Hiranyakashipu said, actually, I see that you're very much like me. All right. Nice to meet you. Sit down. Hear my story.
Thank you.
Because actually, there's so much Hiranyakashipu in all of us. At least, I should speak subjectively. It's not fair to include all of you in my pool of ignorance. But let's say, I have so much Hiranyakashipu within me. So then I will pray also to Hiranyakashipu, because more than being playing this drama of being a demon, we know that he's a great devotee. And Vaishnav Kripa is so much important, Mahant Kripa. So, oh Hiranyakashipu, please, be kind to me. I'm going to sit down here. I'm going to hear this story with great attachment and great attention. I'm going to become absorbed in your feelings and your moods and this whole story. And by absorbing my mind, my heart, becoming avashta chitta, it's called avashta, avashta chitta. In my chitta, my consciousness, I'm going to merge my consciousness and deeply immerse myself in this story, every aspect of every verse. And please bless me that I can identify with your feelings. What are you feeling? Why are you so angry? Well, it's natural. If someone kills your brother, you'll be angry with that person. If I come in your house and shoot down your brother with a machine gun, are you going to embrace me and give me a ladu? Maybe, in some cases. Could be. Kali Yuga is so alta. But generally we'll be very angry. Hey, Ari, what are you doing? I'll kill you. So it's a natural response, but it's unnatural because this Atma is expressing his anger towards the Paramatma. Because Varaha, who killed his brother, is not some guy off the street. He's Bhagavan, and his brother was liberated. They should be thankful. But he's angry. So this is just giving some idea of how to approach Bhagavatam, not only in this story, but in every story, in every lila, because there's so much to be drawn from it. And we have to see that everything here is connected with the sadhya. The sadhana must be connected with the sadhya. The sadhana is the practices, the abhyas, the daily practices. Bhagavad Shravan, Sadhu Sangha, Nam Kirtan, Thakurji Seva, living in a sanctified atmosphere. As Maharaj was telling me, Shripad Radhanath Swami was telling me that the Brijvasis have come here with one stamp. They bought one stamp from Radharani's official government stamp. And they put a stamp on the side of the building. Like sometimes they condemn buildings as some illegal occupation or encroachment. So they condemn the building, they put an X on it, and they put a sign, Municipality, Mumbai Municipality, no one can enter, right? You've seen these, some old building or whatever. They condemn it. And then they throw everyone out. The Brijvasis have come here and they put one stamp on the side of this building, on this mandir. They said, this temple is Brajadham. This stamp was put on the side. Maharaj was telling me. They said, this small island here, this is this Gopinath Kunch or whatever, this island here amidst all this maya, is actually Vrindavan. And therefore there's Kandamba trees here and Tamal trees here and more and Tota and Mriga and these other wild guys, these mandurs. I thought I'd get away from them for a few days. Every day these mandurs, you know, they're stealing my cloth and breaking in, ripping off rotis and ripping my garden apart. And I come here, now they're harassing me also over here. I thought, I said, what's in Bombay? Anything in Bombay? And then people were trying to tell me different attractions, Bollywood. I said, no. They said, well, they were trying to entice me to come to Bombay. I said, I have no attraction to leave Braj. They said, well, there's no monkeys. There's no monkeys in Bombay. Oh, really? No monkeys? Okay, book me a ticket. Give me a break from these Vrindavan monkeys. Then I came here, I came in for darshan. Oh, really? Oh my God. I think they jumped on the same plane with me. They didn't want to leave me. Hey, guy, you can leave us, hey. So now I have to look over my shoulder wherever I go. I don't want to grab my sabji bag or steal my clothes from the line. So this is Brajadham. So therefore all these five limbs of bhakti are going on here, Panchanga Bhakti. This is Mathura Vasasthali, living in the holy abode of Gopinath. And I was saying, this is an island amidst all this ocean of maya. What do we say? We say it. It's Samudra, what do they say? Samsara Sindhu, Samsara Samudra, Bhava Sindhu. Because we see in Radhakund, Radhakund is of course the supreme swarup of Radharani, the ras of Radharani. But in the middle of Radhakund, there's one island. And that island is the island of her younger sister, Radharani's younger sister, Ananga Manjari. And that island, she has her Seva Kunj. Ananga Manjari's Seva Kunj. The grove or the forest where Ananga Manjari serves Radha and Krishna, and sometimes she serves Krishna directly. Because she's Sakhi and Manjari both. And Tattva, and Rasa, and Leela. So that's, there's Radha Kunj, all water all around, and in the middle there's Ananga Manjari's Kunj, which is connects to the shore at a place called Janava Baitak. You must have seen. Janava Baitak is the starting point on the north shore, and then there's a crystal bridge which goes from there and goes to the island. And of course there's no toll there, they don't charge any tax. Well, maybe sometimes. Maybe some Dan Leela. If Radharani is there in Ananga Manjari's Kunj, waiting to meet Gopinath, Ananga Manjari may post herself. She may post herself like this at the crystal bridge when Gopinath comes to cross that bridge to have Milan with Radharani. He says, "Hey, you want to cross this bridge? You have to pay some tax." This is Dan. So there's also Dan Leela the other way. Krishna's Dan Bihari. Everyone knows Dan Bihari Lala Ki. And Dan Bihari is always taxing the gopis and harassing them and with their loving teasing and Prem Kalaha, lovers quarrel, and all these funny statements, Narma Bad. But sometimes the gopis also tax Krishna. So it can be like this. So in the same way as Ananga Manjari's Kunj is situated in the middle of Radhakund, this whole tract of land here, of course this Kunja is also expanding. Because Kunja, Brajadham is like a lotus. Sometimes the lotus is closed. Band hoga. Band, Padma band, then kula. When the lotus opens, then it becomes very vast. So vast that if Chitila gets news, if Chitila is in Yavatgram, and she hears that her daughter-in-law is in Radhakund with that black person, that very dark person, if she hears that somehow her daughter is in Radhakund meeting Krishna, and then she says, "Oh, I'm going to go there," she grabs one stick and she starts running towards Radhakund. I will catch that black person and I will beat him for harassing or intimidating my daughter-in-law. So she starts running from Yavatgram, and it's only a few hours away from Yavatgram to Radhakund. But the lotus of Braj becomes so big that Chitila runs for days. She runs and she runs and she runs. "Hey, where's Radhakund? Radhakund, Radhakund." And the whole time she's just chanting, "Radha, Radha, Radha, Radha. My Radha." And then she's running, running. Finally she just falls in exhaustion and goes to sleep. And some parrot flies over and sees Chitila sleeping on the side of the road. She comes and says, "Oh, Radharani, your mother-in-law has collapsed. Your mother-in-law has collapsed in a heap of fatigue, lying on the side of the road. So don't have any worry or concern that she may come here or ever catch you over here with Krishna. Impossible." So this is Brajadham. It can become very small or become very big. So initially here in Mumbai, Chopadi Beach, Gopinath's Kunj was a little bit small. And surrounding this Gopinath Kunj, all surrounding this Kunj is all Maya Sagar. All Maya Sagar, all around. Ocean of Maya in all directions. But here, this is Yoga Maya. Yoga Maya, that energy, that Maya which connects one with the Prem Dham. When one enters this Kunj, he enters the Yoga Maya. This is Gopinath Kunj. And when you enter this Gopinath Kunj, then Yoga Maya connects you to the loving service of Radha's lotus feet. So this place, this Kunj was a little bit small. I remember 20 years ago or so when I got this Kunj, there was only one floor. One of the kiddies were on one floor. It was 65 kiddies. No kiddies? Bacha. Bacha log. There were 65 kids in the orphanage. I don't know where they went. They went back to Godhead or something. They all got liberated. But bless their souls. But and then so there's just like, and there's a bunch of typewriting classes here and there, and all these strange people hanging around. And there was hardly anything. The kunj was very small. And Gopinath was saying, "Oh, this kunj is very small. How can we have Rasa-lila here? We can have some kunja-lila, some confidential pastimes, but rasa is very expansive, and many, many gopis and gopas have to come and join in this sankirtan rasa." So then Gopinath gradually expanding his kunj, and it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And I don't know, maybe a few years all of Bombay will be Gopinath's kunj. He'll take over all of Bombay. The whole place have to rename it, called Gopinath's kunj. Instead of Mumbai, it'll be called Gopinath's kunj. Of course, we like to see like that. At any rate, so this is the Bhagavatam. This is the setting. We're about to enter into this story. And you see, what a contrast. Just try to hold in your mind the cherubic face of Prahlad. He's a young boy. He's only, how old is he? Komara? He's Komara. He's a Komara. Komara Acharat Pragya. Dharman Bhagavatamya. He preaches like this. He's a Komara. He's telling his father, "Hey, Hiranyakashipu, from the age of 5, like me, I'm a little boy, I'm Kumar. Kumar Prahlad, Kumar. He's a Kumar, Krishna Kumar, Gopa Kumar." So he's Prahlad is a Kumar. He's a young boy, 5 years old. He's saying, "Listen, father, how old are you? I don't know. How old are you? You stood on one leg and turned into bones. You put your Atma in your bones. You lived there for thousands and thousands of years. So old you are. And your ideas are very old also. This anger idea is very, very old. It's coming since the beginning. Living entity comes here with his anger and envy, desire. So your ideas, this idea of anger and envy is very old. Now listen, give it up. Chorde. Just give it up. And become like a Kumar, become like me, and worship Bhagavan." So this face, this Prahlad Maharaj, he's so soft. He has baby skin. He's effulgent, he's golden. His eyes are like lotus petals. He's so soft, so gentle. And he's so tender because his heart is so tender and so gentle. He's always immersed in Vishnu Smaran. He's in Shantaras. But he's Ras. He's Shant, he's peaceful. He's not biting his lips in rage. So on one side you have this picture, he will enter the drama. Prahlad will enter the drama and see how cherubic and angelic he looks. So gentle, so soft. On the other side, there's this raging demon, seething with anger, biting his lip. So this is the divine and demoniac. Because Gita, Bhagavad Gita is tattva, but Bhagavatam is the rasa. So tattva and rasa go together. Tattva is the foundation of rasa. And rasa is the expression, the relishable expression of tattva. The relishable, tasty expression of tattva is the ras, the exchange. But the tattva, you read the mind in chapter 16, Asura Sambhav, you read about the qualities of the demons. Ishwaraham aham bogi siddham balavansuki. Ishwaraham aham bogi siddham balavansuki. This is the Asurak Sambhav. The Asurak Sambhav. "Oh, I am perfect, I am great. He is my enemy, I have killed him. My other enemy will also be killed. There's no one so powerful and great as I am. I am happy. If anyone stands in my way, I annihilate them." So Krishna is showing, this is the mentality, the mindset of the asura, the demon. So this is the tattva. Trigunamayi, the three gunas are there. Karma tattva, kala tattva, jiva tattva, prakriti tattva, ishvara tattva, these pancha tattvas are there. Five truths of existential reality. These five truths are described in Gita. Now, what's the expression? Where do we find divine qualities and demoniac qualities? Right here. Here it is. Seventh canto. Seventh canto is the rasic expression of the tattva of Gita, of chapter 16. Chapter 16 is coming alive here, isn't it? We've all studied the Gita, and we continue to study and get nourishment, strength, enthusiasm, determination from studying Gita. And then we enter here and say, "Oh, look at this. Here's a demoniac person, Hiranyakashipu. And look how he's displaying these qualities. Physically displaying with all these so we should become absorbed, we should be there." As Bhaktivinoda says, there should be no room for hankering and lamenting. Forget the past, it sleeps. It's over. Forget it. Let go. Don't hold on. Forget the past, it sleeps. And near the future, dream it all. Don't dream about the future. It will come. Oh, my Jyotish said that, you know, this thing's going to happen in 3 years. Acha. Oh, well, you better get 25 rings. Put 25 rings on all your fingers. It's a very interesting coincidence that Jyotishis, they usually sell gems. Very interesting coincidence. And when they read your Janma Kundali, they say, oh, next year your mind is disturbed because you have Chandra and Chandra Graha and this and that and retrograde moon and your moon is going upside down. So you need to wear a pearl on your pinky finger. It's very good. One moti, ek moti. Acha. Oh yeah, I'm very convinced and you're a very convincing speaker and maybe that'll work. Oh, by the way, don't mind. I have a few pearls right here. I can sell you. Well, what do you know? It's like the doctor, he prescribes a medicine and says, if you want to buy it, you can buy this medicine only in one shop, which is across the street from my clinic. And by the way, my brother owns a shop. My brother owns a medicine shop. Because we're in the business together. It's a partnership. I make a prescription, he sells the medicine, and we both enjoy the profits. So this is a cheating situation. So we want to enter deeply into this story and all of the stories. And then the Bhagavatam becomes alive. As much as you put your life, as much as we put our life into the Bhagavatam, that's how much life of the Bhagavatam comes into us. We say life of the Bhagavatam. Prabhupada has some, he wrote some book with these paintings called Life of the Bhagavat or something? Is there something like that? Light. It's called Light. So the light of the Bhagavat, the light of the Bhagavat will shine on our hearts if we open our hearts to the Bhagavat. And how do we open our hearts to the light of the Bhagavat? The light of the Bhagavat, that light is, light means many things. Light means knowledge. Light means knowledge. Light means illumination. Light means vision. Light means clarity. And then that's the one, now take it to the feeling level. Light means health. Light means comfort. Light means heat. And light ultimately gives us good feelings. Dark. So when we're in the sunlight, we feel good. In the winter, Ayurveda says winter sunlight is like nectar. It's very good, winter sunlight. So the light of the Bhagavad, at first, if we open ourselves up with this, what I said, with we approach the Bhagavad with attention and try to become absorbed, then the light of the Bhagavad shines in our heart. Then we feel the result. We experience the result. We become enlightened. We become purified. We become cleansed. Our consciousness becomes cleansed of greed, anger, lust. And then we become soothed. We actually become soothed and comforted. And we actually take great comfort in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam becomes our friend and fills us with friendly feelings, fills us with comfort. And we start to lose all taste for any other literature. Of course, there's verses to describe this. But we must experience it, not just read the verses that say, Then when one studies Bhagavatam, he loses all taste for any other literature. Well, we have to experience that. But we're blocking. We're blocking the experience. Because we're not approaching the Bhagavat with the openness and with the absorption. And we just rush through the Bhagavat. We take this verse, there it is, look at this scene. It's describing so much envy, so much anger. And then we have to think over each verse. It's so exciting. People want to flip on the television. They have like these, what do they call these, remote control things. And then they, because when I watched television when I was 5 years old, we didn't have that thing. You had to get up and turn the thing. Now you sit there. You know. So you have like 300 channels on your thing here. And you press it like this. And you keep pressing to find some channel that makes an impression on your heart. You keep pressing, looking for an impression. You go 300 channels, and 300 channels don't make any impression. Because it has nothing to do with the Atma. It's all extraneous and external to the actual senses of the Atma, the Indriya, the Atmasindriya, the senses of the soul. But we are devotees. Everyone here is a devotee or aspiring devotee. We're all aspiring devotees. You can say Vaishnava Praya. We're almost Vaishnavas. We're trying. So Bhagavatam for us, Bhagavatam is life. It is light and it is life. Light is life. And life is light. When you're living, you give off light. You have effulgence, jyoti. Your dead body becomes dark. So life is light and light is life. You take away the sun from this planet, is there any life here? There's no. So this Bhagavat Purana has risen just like the sun. Krishna sudav mo pagate dharma ginadi visaha kalo disham dashonasha. Said, this age of Kali, the Bhagavatam has risen like the sun. So don't block the rays of the sun. Don't block the rays of the Bhagavat. Let it shine deep into our hearts by being receptive, being attentive, being attached, and getting absorbed. In other words, you approach a story. Well, who are the characters in this story? Who's the hero? Who's the Nayak? Who's the Nayaka? The hero and the heroine. Or are there only heroes here? And what's going on here? This is chivalry. Viraras. All these rasas that Krishna has with his associates. Here we have also chivalry. And we have anger. And we have envy. And all these different types of rasas being mixed here and being displayed here and being expressed. When one is angry and one is envious, what kind of physical expressions does he display? It's motive. We say motive. Motive and emotive. It brings out, emotive means it brings out emotions. But if you don't become absorbed, it's just like if you go to a play. You go to a play, you sit in the seat and go, it's nice air conditioning, and it's dark, and you feel, well, I'm really tired. And I saw people also, they go like this. There's such wonderful drama going on, so much heartfelt delivery of lines, and so much absorbed, the character is so absorbed and so dedicated, and there's people like this. It's not their... We're not blaming. They're tired. They worked hard, and it's nice air conditioning. What to do when they worked so hard for their families? But in other words, it was all going on. The drama was all going on, but it didn't touch them. It didn't reach them. The light of that drama, the message of that drama, the light of the drama, the teaching, the emotions, the rust of that drama, it didn't penetrate them because they were tired, for whatever reason, good reason, whatever. So what about the Bhagavatam? Is the light of the Bhagavatam, is the light and the life of the Bhagavatam, is it touching us? Is it penetrating us? Or are we like this? And we, oh yeah, Bhagavatam. Okay. Yeah, well, what did you read? I read about Hiranyakashipu and he was angry and, you know, how are you going? Because absorption is, this is the key. Chanting japa, everything, absorption. Attention, first, as I said, attraction, attention. That's why some people, when they read the Bhagavatam, they put in earplugs. Just like when we get involved with Maya, when we watch television, or some people say, well, I don't watch much television, I only watch cricket matches. I only watch cricket matches between India and Pakistan. Even if India plays Australia, I don't care. Well, they play Pakistan, and I must see Pakistan. The anti-party, friends and enemies. Sometimes that's a little bit inside of us also, although we're supposed to be samadristi. We're supposed to be samadristi, everyone, everywhere friends, everywhere supporters, but sometimes. So, but when we're watching that TV or that movie, then we're all ears, as they have this expression in America. We're all ears. Our ears are fully there. Our eyes are fully there. But when it comes to Bhagavatam, our ears are closed and pretty soon our eyes close and that's that. Bhagavatam Bandhoga. So this is, in other words, this is a wake-up call to glorify the Bhagavatam, because this verse, of course, it talks about envy and anger and all these good things. And so much of that is within us. But I really, because it's so exciting. To me, the Bhagavatam is so exciting. I never could imagine even touching Time, these magazines and newspapers. Oh, it's so boring. And it doesn't have any positive effect for me. What's in it for me? Everyone calculates. The me principle. What's in it for me? What can I derive from you or from this place, from you? Everyone's calculating. Of course, it's exploitive mentality. But This is the basic plane of this material world, is exploitation. It's taking. Everyone's a taker. But devotees are givers. They're giving. And so we're not really taking. We're only taking the bad qualities from people's hearts and filling them with good qualities. We're taking the wrong things and the dangerous things out of people's minds and filling them with sweet, tasty, relishable, good qualities and good things. Krishna and Harikatha, Harikathamritam, with nectar talks. We're givers of happiness and we're takers of distress. We're giving peace and taking away anxiety. We're giving love and taking away envy. We're giving satisfaction and taking away dissatisfaction. We're giving community. We're giving community and we're taking away alienation. We're giving Krishna, Radha and Krishna prema, and we're taking away birth and death. Now, are we givers or are we takers? We're givers. Para dukit, para upakara. Para kara upakara. Udhara. Parama udhara. Parama udhara means the greatest welfare worker. We have the biggest hearts, the broadest hearts. Because everyone, they say everywhere, when someone has love, when someone is involved with love, then everywhere is circumference, nowhere the center. There's no center because everywhere love is all encompassing. Everywhere the center and no circumference, I should say. There's no circumference. Everywhere the center. The center is Krishna. Krishna is in everyone's heart, and we're bringing that Krishna out to show everyone. It turns because it's Sankirtan. Is that this is one principle about Sankirtan? This is book distribution. Sometimes people say, of course, it's different in India. But they say, oh, you're coming out here to beg, you're beggars, you're coming to take something from us. But actually, the consciousness of a Sankirtan devotee, there's so many levels of consciousness, but one of the most important consciousness is that I'm giving, I'm a giver. I'm not taking anything. Because everything already belongs to Krishna. Every body belongs to Krishna, every object and article of this world belongs to Bhagavan. He is the supreme proprietor of everything. Bhaktaram Yagatavasam Saraloka Maheshwaram. And everything belongs to my father. And these are all my brothers. All these ladies are my sisters. All these men are my brothers. And our father is common. We have one father. And these people are in amnesia. I'm coming to give them medicine. We're all doctors. We have Bhaktivedanta Hospital. But everyone here is a doctor. And then Lord Chaitanya's hospital. So we're actually giving, and we should have that mood. I'm out here to give. I'm not out here to collect money. I'm not out here to sell 100 books or 1,008 books tomorrow or next day or whatever. I'm out here to give, as Mahamuni Prabhu was saying. We're out here. We're giving Krishna prema. Well, I don't know if we're giving Krishna prema, but if we have it, we're giving it. But we're giving an opportunity. We're giving some drops of that prema. We're carrying some drops of that prema. And Prabhupada is giving the prema, and Gauranga is giving the prema, and the Holy Name is giving the prema, and we're simply the via media. We're also giving, but indirectly. But by giving, we're also receiving. But that's the mood of giving. And then one other point is, I remember one devotee told me, was we did Sankirtan for 6 years, that was our service in Los Angeles at the airport, 75 to 81, every day, book distribution. Those books and a handshake. You know, I only did businessmen, as Mahamuni was saying. Some men might like to go to the ladies and use their charm to get money from the ladies and sell a book. And then that charm that they use to sell the books takes them down. They get married. So usually, I was only doing businessmen and just shaking hands all the time. But the point is, what he was saying, when I go on Sankirtan, I don't go out to sell books. That's not my objective. My objective is not to sell books or distribute books. I don't want to become number one or number two or number. Or I don't want to become last number. I don't want to become first number. I'm not going out to sell books. Now everyone's looking, what? Oh, are you going out to collect some money for your pocket? No, I'm not going out to collect money. I'm not going out to sell books. Why am I going out on the streets? I'm going out on the streets because book distribution gives me the best opportunity to pray to the Lord. It gives me the best opportunity to perfect the devotional limb, the bhakti anga, vandanam. Vandanam. Vandanam means offering prayers. Going on Sankirtan gives me an opportunity to get down on my hands and knees. Going on Sankirtan, going on book distribution, gives me an opportunity to get down on the street to get down on the sidewalks, get down on the public sidewalk, or get down on my hands and knees in the terminal, international airport terminal, get down on the floor on my hands and knees, or down on the sidewalk at Dadar station, and down on my hands and knees and pray, "Oh Bhagavan, please help me. Please, I'm trying to distribute these books. No one's stopping. Everyone has the Bhagavad Gita. Everyone in Bombay, there are 20 million people. They all have the Bhagavad Gita. No one wants it. And it's not possible. How can I give them? Please give me the words. Give me the intelligence. Give me the strength. Give me something. Make them stop." And you get down there with your hands folded and praying to Gauranga Mahaprabhu and Nittai, to Nityananda, that compassionate Lord of mercy. That compassionate Lord of mercy. "Oh Nityananda, please. I'm out here for you. This is your mission. This is my guru's mission. It's not my mission. My mission is to stay home and eat Mahaprasadam." I have my mission statement. My mission statement. I joined Gopinath because the prasad was so good. Now they have me out here on the streets. Oh my God. Anyway, Krishna, I don't have to tell you my mission statement. You know it already. But Nittai, this is Nittai's mission statement. This Shradavan Janahe, oh Shradavan Janahe, I'm out here to find those faithful people. So this is what Sankirtan means. It's an opportunity to give. Give your heart to others. This is preaching, this is Sankirtan, this is book distribution, this is love, this is Brajadam. Brajadam is all about giving heart to Krishna. So Krishna is Gopinath in everyone's heart. So wow, and Gopinath is coming in front of us in so many forms and facets. He's expanded himself. And Radharani's expanded herself in so many hearts. But ultimately, the Ishtadeva within the heart of everyone is your own Ishtadeva. If you are Hanuman, then you see Sita and Ram in everyone's heart. If you are Krishna Das, you are Gaudiya Vaishnava, then you see Gauranga in everyone's heart. You see Radha and Krishna in everyone's heart. Radha Gopinath. It can't but be. This is the vision. Now it's okay, we heard it, we say, "I try," but ultimately that becomes a vision. Hanuman was not seeing anything but Sitaram. So we're not approaching big man, small man, fat man, as Mamuni is saying. We're approaching our beloved. We're approaching Gopinath. And he's appearing in a very comical form. Sometimes he appears in a very comical and humorous form. A fat lady, a funny man, different form. To entertain us. "Oh, Gopinath, oh, here, take this book." So we're giving, that's one principle, we're simply giving. Whatever drops of love we have, we want to distribute those drops on the dry hearts of the conditioned souls. Their hearts are dry. They're scorched by Maya. They're suffering. They're burning. Like Hiranyakashipu, he's burning. His heart is burning. His heart is burning with envy, so sparks are coming out of his eyes. When you have a fire, sparks come out of the fire. So his eyes are like the opening to the fire of his heart. The heart's fire is coming out through his eyes and filling the sky with smoke. That's what the verse is saying, verse 2. So where's the sparks coming from? From his heart. Heart's on fire with envy, with anger. And he's expressing it physically, very graphically and visibly, he's expressing it. So we, contrary to this, we have some sparks in our heart. There's some... The flame of love, they say, the love flame burns in my heart. My heart, we have phrases in English. "Oh baby, my heart burns for you." "Oh baby, my heart burns for you. You sparked the fire of love in my heart," which is actually lust, which everyone knows. But there's some drops, but us is not a fire. We have in our heart some ras, bhakti rasamrita. Bhakti rasamrita, some drops of bhakti have been placed there. Have been sprinkled, our hearts have been sprinkled by Guru Kripa. So there are some drops of love there. There are some actual drops of love in the hearts of everyone here. So every preacher must go out and sprinkle the hearts, those desert-like hearts, the conditioned souls. Sprinkle. Not too many, you don't want to become dry. But sprinkle a few drops. And what happens when you sprinkle a few drops of your love on the dry hearts of the conditioned souls, and then you look back into your storehouse, when you look back into your heart, "Oh, are? I had 10 cc's. I had 10 cc's of praying. And I sprinkled 3 cc's. I sprinkled 3 cc's. Understand? Cc's. 3 cc's, or millimeters, maybe no. Milliliters, a little bit more. A little more generous. I sprinkled a few milliliters of prem on the hearts, of my bhakti on the hearts of the conditioned souls with book distribution. And I look back in my own heart, oh, acha? Half a liter? 500 mil? Wow. Oh, this is very good. Good business. Let me sprinkle more. Hey, more books. Aniyor. Take more. My love is increasing. Oh, this is something magic out here. Oh, shh. I don't want to tell anyone back at the temple. If anyone in the temple knows how much money I'm making out here, how much love is coming in my heart, everyone's going to leave the temple on book distribution. There'll be no one to do the puja, no one to cook. Then how will I fulfill my mission statement? How will I get the Mahaprasad when I come back for a sankirtan? Because I do Nittai's mission statement, then what about mine? Mahaprasad Govinde. So these are some interesting points to consider on this holy day of Thursday. Guruvar, Brihaspativar, Brihaspati the great Rishi, sage. At any rate, I want to Madaram Samapayat, because I'm feeling homesick, so please don't mind. But we've heard about anger and envy, and Hiranyakashipu, he's boiling and bubbling with anger and envy, misdirected at Vishnu Varaha due to his son becoming a devotee. If you want to see Hiranyakashipu, you want to see Hiranyakashipu live, sakshat, just any of you that are coming as congregational members, just go home and tell your mother and father, I'm going to shave my head and join the Hare Krishna temple. Then you'll see this verse and you'll see your father bite his lower lip. And it becomes so angry and sparks will come out of his eyes. You'll see Hiranyakashipu right in front of your eyes. Mr. Gupta, Mr. Banerjee, Mr. Tata, whoever. Whoever your father's name is. So you don't have, the Bhagavatam will become alive. Just tell your father that you want to become like Prahlad. You want to become a Hare Krishna devotee. Jai Gopinath. And then you'll see Hiranyakashipu in action. But in the spiritual world, we also find some of these feelings like anger and envy. So I thought we could read just a couple of things. There's, of course, anger in the spiritual world is called man. And of course here, most of the devotees here are very much connected with Manini Radha. Manini Radha is Radharani displaying transcendental anger towards Krishna. Because Krishna loves to see Radharani's face bent up in anger. Because when someone is angry, their face displays a very particular countenance. And that countenance is extremely attractive. Because variety is the mother of enjoyment. Chitra, right? Chitra. Variety. Every day you see your wife, hello. Good morning. Every day, same old face. Every day, good morning, where's the prasad? There's the prasad. No. Take the kids to school. Okay, take the kids to school. And every day, hello, how you go? Day after day, it's so boring. But one day, when you don't give enough money to your wife, hey, where's the prasad? And she becomes so angry. Whoa, very nice. Such a nice feature you're showing me. So Krishna, he is Akila Rasamrita Murti. Akila Rasamrita Murti. Akila, so many types of rasas he wants to taste. He's a form. He likes the he likes anger, he likes envy, he likes everything. Everything dedicated to him is blissful, it's pure. When everything is for his pleasure, then it's pure. So transcendental anger is pure. It is real, it's spiritual. When it's offered for his pleasure, transcendental envy. So in this pastime, it's from Gita Govinda. Radharani in Vasant Panchami at Govardhan, she's showing man here. And so this one in Vasant Panchami, and there's Vasant Ras, and Radharani, she came to the Rasasthali, and she said, oh, Hare, Krishna's already there with so many gopikas? And he started dancing without me? Hey, Krishna's dancing and didn't wait for me? She became a little jealous. Because her special prestige was being dimmed. Therefore, she immediately left the scene. Ah! I'm learning this from these dramas. You have to make these certain sounds. Ah! So she made this sound. Ah! Ah! And she walked out. And what did she do? She didn't go very far away. She left the scene. Radharani saw Krishna. So she was in anger. She was angry, some jealousy. So she left, but not very far away. Because she goes too far, then Krishna can't find her. So then she went to a nice flower bush where there were black drones were humming. It was very interesting. Black drones means Brahmar. These big black, bluish black bees, they call Brahmar. Brahmar Geet. So she went there, and when she heard those bees and she saw them, that was Udipan. So she saw these sham colored bees humming in this kunj. So even though she was angry with Krishna, she was seeing those bees and thinking of Krishna. She couldn't forget Krishna. Maybe Krishna even took the form. So then hiding herself behind the creepers, she began to express her sorrow to one of her consorts. So this was a small example of Radharani showing a little jealousy. She saw these other gopis with Krishna and she became jealous. And she adopted this mood of man, which is a type of viraha, love and separation. So she separated herself from Krishna. But ultimately Krishna is going to come to her, then manini, man bhanga. Man bhanga means that she has to break Radharani's man. So here, she may be also biting her lip. Hiranyakashipu is biting his lip. And he's very angry, and his eyes are becoming red. Radharani's biting her lip, and her eyes are becoming red. And she's feeling anger. But this is prem krodh. This anger is full of love. But Hiranyakashipu's anger is full of hatred. His anger is full of hatred. And this is the antithesis of love. So anger, Radharani's anger is just another expression of her love. So we should understand. And we'll just read one more, because I think maybe we want to go. This is related to Lalita Sakhi. This is also anger, because this verse in the Bhagavatam was about anger. So I mentioned the inception of the class about this type of anger, Hiranyakashipu, with hatred towards God or animosity towards Bhagavan. That's within us. And all of this has to come out. So the seventh canto is, this is a cleansing process. Like people go in and get intestinal cleansing and they do enemas and all these things and clean everything out. So the Bhagavatam is to cleanse all of these perverted feelings, this wrong anger and this wrong envy must become cleansed from our chitta, from our consciousness. So then it's a matter, basically what we have to do is open an export and import business. There's so many people in Bombay doing exports. So each of us has to open an export business. We have to export, which means send out all the bad qualities. So Hiranyakashipu, he's an agent, he's an export agent. So Hiranyakashipu is acting as an export agent, and he's coming, yes, I've come to do business with you. Dear reader, I want to do a little export business. You want to work with me? Oh, yeah, yeah. Will you export your anger? Oh, yeah, take it. I have a lot. I have a big commodity. I have a lot of storehouse of anger. Take it. Oh, and do you have any envy you want to sell? Yes, yeah, I'll give you wholesale, half price. Take all my envy. Take all my anger. So Hiranyakashipu is export agent. But then when we get to the 10th canto, then we have to open an import business. Import means to bring into our heart. Then we have to bring in this aprakrit bhav, the prakriti bhav. We have to import the feelings. We have to become tadatmika with Rupa Manjari and Rati Manjari and Lalita Vishaka and Radharani. We have to do an exchange with them where their feelings will come into our heart. We have to import their feelings. So this is what the Bhagavatam is preparing us for. First we do exports, and then we establish a good foundation, then we're ready for importing. And we can import. And this is Golokera Premadana Harinam Sankirtan. It comes down, Goloka. All these aprakrit bhavs of Goloka have to descend into our heart. But our heart has to be made ready. Chaito Dharpana Marjan. So this story is acting very specifically. So here in this transcendental anger, an ecstatic loving service, it says, an ecstatic loving service to Krishna in anger. This is the phrase. Ecstatic loving service to Krishna. Krishna is always the Vishaya, or the object, Prem Vishaya. So Lalita Gopi, Lalita Sakhi, she was a little bit angry. And who was she angry with? She was angry with Krishna. So she says, she addressed Radharani, my dear friend, my inner desires have been polluted. Therefore, I am going to Yamaloka. But I'm very sorry to see that Krishna has still not given up his smiling over cheating you. I do not know how you could repose all your loving propensities upon this lusty young boy from the cowherd neighborhood. So Lalita is very angry because Krishna has stood Radharani up. He made an appointment to meet her. And he didn't come. And then he's prancing by with a big smile on his face. Like we saw yesterday, a little Krishna and Balaram smiling so sweetly in front of Daku Bhagat, or whatever it was, Daku Bhagat. And so Krishna's like, and as soon as Lalita sees him, look at this rake. What audacity. And she becomes very angry. Radharani, look at him. How can you put all your loving feelings in such a person? He's mistreated you in such a way. And Lita's boiling with anger. So this is one example. There's another example of Jarati. Jarati is one old lady in Braj. So one time she was walking along the footpath in Nandagam and she met Krishna. She says, "Oh, you thief of young girls' properties. Look on your shoulder. I can see on your shoulder that chatter you're wearing, that belongs to my daughter-in-law. That's my daughter-in-law's cheddar that's hanging over your shoulder." So then she started crying. Jarati started crying very loudly, addressing all the residents of Vrindavan to inform them that Nanda Nandan was setting fire to the household life of her daughter-in-law. So this mother, this lady, this Janani, this lady of Braj, Jarati, she happened upon Krishna. She said, "Hare, that's my daughter-in-law's cheddar. What's it doing on your shoulder? Hey, listen everybody. This Krishna is defiling my daughter-in-law. Listen. She's becoming so angry. So this is an example of anger and ecstatic love. And Krishna's watching all this. And he's laughing, he's relishing like anything. Because who are these gopis? The gopis of Braj are Nija Rupataya Kalabi. They're simply Krishna's Kala. They're his expansions, Nija Rupataya. The gopis are nothing but Krishna. Like a boy dancing with a shadow. So if I have my cheddar on this shoulder and I take it off this shoulder and throw it on this shoulder, is that immoral? If I take the cheddar? So Krishna takes the cheddar from Gopi's shoulder and puts it on his shoulder. There's nothing wrong. Nija Rupataya Kalabi Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratibhavi Tabi. So the Gopis are nothing but Krishna. They're Krishna's Rupam. They're his Prem Rupam. To exchange of love, he expands himself. So there's one last one. When Radharani was dissatisfied with the behavior of Krishna and stopped talking with him, Krishna was very sorry over Radha's dissatisfaction. And he came to beg forgiveness. Krishna fell down at Radharani's feet. But even after this, Radharani was not satisfied. This is called heavy man, manini. Krishna's lying at her feet, his mar mukut. His peacock feather and his crown are lying at Radharani's feet. And Radharani's... she's indifferent. She doesn't care. She's not even looking, not even Kripa Kataksha. She's not even looking out of the corner of her eyes. Do whatever you want to do, but I'm not going to look at you. She did not talk with Krishna. And at that time, one Sakhi chastised Radharani. "Oh, Sakhi, why are you allowing yourself to become churned by the rod of dissatisfaction? What can I say to you? The only advice I can give to you is you should leave this place immediately because your misbehavior is giving me too much pain. I cannot bear to see how you're misbehaving. Even though Krishna's peacock feather is lying at your feet, you still appear to be red-faced and full of anger." So, these are some glimpses into the transcendental realm of pure spiritual emotions. Divine rapture. The rasa-maya-dham of Braja-dham. Such beautiful, sweet feelings. That one Sakhi is, "Hey, Radharani, don't you see? Look what he's doing. He's lying at your feet. His beloved, his prized peacock feather, the great crown, the gem of his crown, the most prized possession, that peacock feather is lying at your feet, and you're showing, not, you're not even speaking, you're looking at it. Just go from here. I can't tolerate to see how you're holding on to your man." But Krishna's relishing. So the gopi's feeling like this, and she's becoming angry at Radharani's man, and Krishna's relishing. Actually, Krishna finds the most happiness placing his feet, his head, at the feet of Radharani. And in Gaudiya Sadan, Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we see a Krishna like this. Krishna is the servant of his devotees. And the greatest devotee is Radharani, and Krishna is serving Radharani's feet. So we want to leave the realm of Hiranyakashipu and enter the realm of Radha Gopinath. So by absorbing ourselves in the seventh canto, we hope at the end of this discussion of the seventh canto that all of us will be freed from all this material, from material anger and material envy. And we will become repositories of the sweet feelings of Brajadham. Shrimad Bhagavatam ki jai. So, no questions or questions? Question. Everything's so organized here. What shall we do? No, first, excuse me. Jai Radhe. Jai Radhe! Jai Jai Shri Radhe! Thank you. What shall we do when on one side we want to surrender to Sri Guru's lotus feet, but on the other side some obstacles just come out and make us get stuck and not ready to forget and leave our material desires behind? What really can help us? Because most all our desires are mostly just like habits which we are so attached to. Surrender to Guru. Guru Pada Shraya. So you're saying, what? The obstacles, the desires, of course, it's our Prarabdha Karma. Our Prarabdha Karma has to be reduced by increasing our Sukriti. So as the Sukriti increases, Bhakti Unmukhi Sukriti. Bhakti Unmukhi means activities which are connected to devotion. Anything connected with devotion turns the face towards Krishna. Unmukhi. The face goes in one direction. So, sadhu associating with devotees, hearing Bhagavatam, chanting, this will increase our stockpile of spiritual credit, spiritual punya. And that punya will fructify in the form of sadhu sangha. And we'll get the determination to surrender to Guru. So we keep on doing good things, and the good result of good things is that one will get the power to surrender. One will get the determination to surrender. And one will get this strong desire to surrender to Guru, and one will surrender to Guru. Then bhakti begins. Bhakti begins at the threshold of Sharanagati. This is the threshold of bhakti, is Sharanagati. Guru Pada Shraya. No Sharanagati, no bhakti. More Sharanagati, more bhakti. So that's the answer. We have to increase our Sukriti. Coming to the temple, all the spiritual things that people do, that will... The end result, it may take 1 year, it may take one lifetime, it may take 100 lifetimes, it depends on how much Sukriti, it depends on the stockpile of Prarabdha, and ultimately it depends on the sweet will of the Lord. So in all instances, the overriding controlling factor is the mercy of God, Kripa. So we can pray. We pray and we act. From our side we act in the best way we can and try to engage always in spiritual activities, Bhakti Unmukhi Sukriti, which will lead us to the feet of sadhus, and sadhus will lead us to the feet of Guru, and then Guru will lead us to the feet of Krishna. And all the while, at every step of the way, we must always pray. Fervently pray. Sincerely pray to Lord Nityananda, and to Srila Prabhupada, and Lord Krishna, and Radharani, that they will bestow their mercy upon us. Endeavor and mercy. Always these two are required. Mother Yashoda is showing the same example. Endeavor and mercy. So from the highest level of Leela, there's endeavor and there's mercy acting. To the lowest, because we're all in Leela. Jivas are also in the Srishti Leela. We're also in Krishna's Leela. So on this level of Leela, Krishna's Leela, on this level, there's also endeavor and mercy. And on the level of the Prakrit level, there's also endeavor and mercy. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.